Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
King of Kings, Revelation 19:11-21. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on the white horse. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called out to all the birds that fly directly overhead, "Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great." And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. We come to this final triumphal entry of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He comes as a rider on a white horse, and his name is Faithful and True. He's called the Word of God. He even has a name that we don't know, suggesting that his ways are beyond our ways and his understanding beyond our understanding. On his robe and thigh are King of Kings and Lords of Lords, and there are armies of heaven aligned with him. But when we think of this image, we're thinking that he's coming to make war. A stallion is what the king would ride into battle, to do war. But we're told that his robe has already been dipped in blood. The war has already been taken on. It's a done deal. This is more of a celebratory parade. This isn't D-Day, this is V-Day. This is the king being fully exposed for who he is, and the king realizing his ultimate destiny. Remember, Jesus was always king. He began as the Son in eternity. He exited the privilege of all of those kingly benefits in eternity, as Paul says in Philippians, emptying himself. He was born to be king. We see that evil king quivers at his coming. He's vile and enters into genocide. Dignitaries bow to him while he's still a toddler. Jesus took on the mantle of king, declaring such things of himself that he was the Son of Man and taking on the messianic image over and over. Even in his passion, those who would seek to mock him inadvertently prophesied about his kingly role. He's given a robe. He's given a crown. Pilate calls him a king. He has a sign made in three languages that says, King of the Jews. All of the language of the cross is he's lifted up by the hands of man, but by the hands of God in resurrection and ascension, it's confirmed. And now there's the revelation of this king. Everything finds its culmination in him, and the victory is just kind of quickly done. Babylon, the dragon, the beast, all those associated with are completely eliminated. And the people of God we're going to see get invited into a full measure of experiencing this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we've gone through Revelation, I've tried to encourage us over and over to not assign moments in history or events or people to different images. The reason is that reading Revelation is not about figuring out something or history. It's really about a person. It's about beholding the Lord Jesus Christ, or King Jesus, This is our gospel. I think it's significant that in the end, the king wins by speaking. He is declaring that this is true. In the beginning, God spoke, Dabar, his word. That word gets expressed in Jesus, the Logos. The word was God, was with God. The word was God. And now as the word, he speaks all of these things in reality. My now what then is to take a stand on the word. The dragon and his minions are still operating in this world. This picture we have is of a long distant future. We don't know how long. Jesus said, be alert and ready. But we do have this kingdom that is working against us in temptation. And once we give in to the temptation, comes with accusation. The only way to beat either of these is to stand on the word. This is what God declares of me. This is what God declares of you. This is what God declares of the end of all things. And so, Lord, today, on a day set apart where we acknowledge your coming as King, both First Advent, Second Advent, we would want to make it a third or maybe even a thousandth Advent in our own heart, that you would be King of our hearts and that you would be worshiped this day. We stand on your word and what you declare about us. We are co-regents, princes and princesses in the kingdom of God because of what you have done. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.